Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
It's the right versus the left. In the right corner, it's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa. In the left corner, it's liberal activist Christopher Hahn. It's a 77 WABC debate. Heavyweight slugfest.
Good afternoon, New York. Chris Hahn and Curtis Sliwa coming to you live from the greatest city on earth. Right here on 77 WABC, 1-800-848-9222. If you want to be part of the national conversation with Curtis and I, pick up the phone and give us a call, 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Curtis Sliwa.
So already we have a disagreement. You say the greatest city in the world. The Midtown is empty. It's abandoned. Man, there's nobody here.
Hold on a minute. I drove in from Long Island, as I do on a Sunday afternoon. And it took me about 25 minutes to find a parking spot. People everywhere. I think you're coming from the west side. I came in from the east side.
No, I came in from the neck, Dog's Neck. And I want to give a salute to all the Patriots who showed up for the annual Veterans Day parade down East Tremont. It's a grand gathering. A lot of Democrats, Republicans together. It's a rare opportunity.
Kind of like us here today, coming together, talk politics.
And I showed up with my broken wing. Everyone appreciated that, with some guardian angels. And they said, hey, where's AOC, all out crazy? Where's the mayor-elect, Eric Adams, and the mayor that we hope can't leave soon enough, Bill de Blasio? But other than them not being there, it was really a great occasion.
Well, it's great to salute our veterans. I know Veterans Day was Thursday, and my grandfather served in World War II. I am not a veteran. Of course, I volunteer with Building Homes for Heroes, which is a great charity that builds mortgage-free homes for veterans returning who've lost limbs from Iraq and Afghanistan. And I appreciate all the work you've done over the years.
And you are a veteran of talk radio. In fact, I have a listing here of all the partners in talk radio I've had in 30 years and all of my ex-wives.
Yes.
Now, I've had more partners than ex-wives. But you're actually in the top of the list, Chris.
This is like my third round with you. I think I used to sub in for Kubi. Then during COVID, you and I did a bunch of shows, which I thought, by the way, were some of the best shows I've ever done.
Were.
I think you and I do.
Very good, very quick, and most importantly, you've got a quick wit and a very entertaining way, not just giving your dogma, your ideology, but you're also very entertaining, which is what I've always said. Talk radio is theater of the mind, and you get it.
I understand that. I agree, and I think that's, by the way, I keep telling people, like, well, Curtis Sliwa. Curtis Sliwa is a funny guy. He is a great radio host, and this station is so lucky to have you back, and I am looking forward to having a lot of fun talking politics with you. We'll go at it, but I always do with love, and I want to start by talking about the year you just had and what a year it was. You ran for mayor of the city of New York. I'm not going to rip you today about it. I think if we have a long career in radio together, I'll have plenty of ribbings to do, but I have a lot of respect for people who are willing to put themselves on the line and put their name on the ballot and say, hey, here are my ideas to run this city, the toughest job other than the president of the United States, probably in the world, running the city of New York. And you were willing to do that. It was a crazy year. You know, just give me, I mean, how does it feel today? I mean, you were out there, you ran hard. You didn't just give up. Some people are like, Republican, you can't win in this city. And you haven't even really been a Republican most of your career. But how did it feel to you to be out there in the mix?
Just typical of what my whole life has been. You know, the odds were stacked against me. It was like David versus Goliath. Remember, this is the first campaign in my memory of 67 years in which there was already a preordained winner. Whoever would win the Democratic primary would be the mayor of the city of New York. And Eric Adams, after a few tries with ranked choice voting, which I was a supporter of when I was the New York State Reform Party chairman, eventually eked out a victory.
Yep.
And then became anointed as the mayor. Wasn't even like, okay, he's in the general election. Curtis Sliwa, not a person of no consequence in New York City, but oh, he's got no chance. And then having to go through a bruising Republican primary just to get that opportunity, yeah, in which most of the Republican leaders were against me.
You weren't a Republican until year ago.
That's what, right? Fernando Mateo, my right, opponent, spent $2 million.
I can understand where they're like, hey, you know, this guy wasn't a Republican, and now he's saying, you know, just kind of like Bloomberg.
No, I'm just saying, right, and I never argued against, right, the $2 million that were dumped on my head in the last 2 weeks of the primary campaign. In fact, some of my most fervent supporters said, wow, you're going to lose this because he's saying you're not a Republican, you're a never-Trumper. I said, look, if 42 years of service in this city isn't good enough, right, I need to go get a job hanging wallpaper or retire to Boca Raton, the sixth borough of the city of New York. And I crushed him 70-30.
I emailed you that night.
Yes, you did.
And you did not respond to me, by the way.
No.
I emailed you several times during the campaign.
Yes, you
and
did.
And usually when I email you, you respond.
I know, but I got to tell you, we had so few resources.
Right.
So few personnel. Remember, Eric Adams comes in with 150 people at his beck and call. I had maybe 5 people to start with, and it slowly built from there. So in many instances, I was a one-man band initially. So I basically had to prioritize. And you were not the priority at that point, Chris. Paying the bills of the campaign was the priority.
I was like, come on, man. I'm looking for... I think you felt like I was slighting you when I said, I'm looking forward to doing some radio with you again.
Yeah, you did.
I wasn't shivving you, man. I was just trying to give you a little reality.
Well, a lot of people in the campaign trail, Curtis, they can't wait until you get back to WABC. I said, how about ask the mayor Friday mornings, you know? How about that? No, Curtis. We want you on WABC.
I'll tell you what. If you would have been the mayor, it would have been the first time in the history of that program, Ask the Mayor, that people would have actually listened to it. You know? It would have been great.
Although, I got to tell you, to his credit, Rudy started that trend, and he did a real talk radio program, adversarial, with callers who were giving him grief. Then Bloomberg mailed it in, right? And you see de Blasio with Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Although Brian is very good. He sticks it to him from time to time. And the callers are good. But that's really what I believe talk radio is. Not only it's what your opinion is, Chris, which is different than mine oftentimes. Not only is it entertainment and theater of the mind, but it's also the people themselves, the callers, because they want to toss their concept into the ring.
Right.
And a lot of times they don't get a chance to do that because talk radio hosts and hostesses, they're bombastic. They like, yep, to hear themselves talk. So do I. But I like to hear the callers talk, too.
Well, we definitely have an ego. That's why we're in this medium, right? I mean, we couldn't be here if we didn't want to hear ourselves speak.
No, and not only that. Look at what is there on the windowsill. Look, Chris. All the pigeons have followed me.
They're here.
They follow me from place. They see the red beret and the pigeons because I feed them. I'm the pigeon man of New York City. They follow me.
I think that's, you know, at the end, you're going to be that guy. You're going to be sitting on the bench in the park, feeding pigeons, talking about, you know.
Talking to myself.
Right. Talking to yourself. Well, Nancy will still be in her 20s.
Oh, Nancy.
So it'll be okay.
Exactly. So. That's the other thing. Nancy is with me campaigning. She actually ran in the Upper West Side, first Republican in 10 years, against Gail Brewer, who doesn't know how to do anything other than run for elective office.
Right.
And people would say, oh, what is it like to be the daughter of Curtis Sliwa?
That's what I said when I met her.
All the time.
Remember when I met her?
Yes.
It was deep in the heart of COVID. It was March of 2020. I was coming in to do WABC without you. And I saw you coming out of the subway. And you had Nancy with you. I go, oh, who's this? Your assistant? Your daughter? Your cousin?
Everybody thinks, unless they know Nancy is my wife, they think that's my daughter.
Yes.
And they'll ask her, what is it like to be the daughter of Curtis Sliwa? And then I have to correct them, no, that's my wife. And then they go, oh, lucky guy you are.
Well, I'll try not to make fun of that too much. Okay, look, I got a few callers that want to say welcome back to you. You want to take a call?
Wait, one thing, though.
Okay.
We must give tribute to the person who stole my election thunder. On the morning of the election, as you know, I showed up at my polling location with Gizmo.
Yes.
Gizmo is now an international star. She has her own webpage, her own Facebook profile.
I've seen it.
Gizmo, the most famous cat in the world, who tried to come in with me to vote and was denied.
I got to tell you, I saw that and I was like, come on. He's running for mayor on the major party line. Let him bring his freaking cat into the
little kitten.
It's a little. By the way, the other thing I thought, I was like, the guy's got 18 cats in a two-bedroom apartment on the Upper West Side.
No two bedrooms. It's a studio apartment.
You have 18 cats in a studio?
17 cats.
Okay.
328-square-foot apartment, ground level, on the Upper West Side.
You would have had 150 cats in Gracie Mansion. It would have
easily.
Been, it would have been, and you would have had the Department of Sanitation to clean the litter boxes. It would have been like euphoric for you.
It would have been nirvana for me.
It would have been so
nirvana.
Good. Could you imagine? I don't know. We would have had to increase the Department of Sanitation's budget just to take care of your cats.
And they wouldn't have had to show me a vaccine passport.
No.
They would not have had to show me a vaccine passport.
It would have been something. All right. So let's go to the phones. Let's go to Barbara in Brooklyn. She'd like to say hello to you, Curtis. Barbara.
Welcome home, Curtis. It's about time.
Thank you, Barbara. It's great to be my home away from home, WABC.
Your home away from home. You know what? I followed your campaign from beginning to end, and I was so proud of you, so proud to be supporting you. And when you gave your concession speech at the end to the elected, you know, mayor, you were so gracious.
Barbara, we have to be very clear. Our city has enormous problems that we are facing that I'm a little bit privy to since I had the opportunity to run for mayor. Really, a lot of fiscal problems. Anybody would have been better than Bill de Blasio. Anybody. So now that Eric Adams has clearly won, and I know there are people out there who say, oh, you were cheated, ballot fraud and all that. No, he clearly beat me.
No.
Although I did a lot better than previous Republicans and in a lot of places that wasn't expected, especially Asian American communities and parts of Queens and Brooklyn, not just Staten Island. But I will tell you this. We need to support Eric Adams. He's standing up to Black Lives Matter now. Hawk Newsom, who I know I'm going to be talking about tonight when I come back from 8
to 1. By the way, Hawk Newsom, kind of a splinter group from Black Lives Matter. Oh, not really a national Black Lives Matter
guy. He's a mamalouk. He drives a Cadillac Escalade. That's $100,000 retail. Like, I'm going to tell the real deal about
Could
Hawk
you imagine
Newsom.
How many cats he could fit in that Escalade? I mean, that's bigger than your apartment.
Yes,
you could
is.
Do like 25 cats.
You're
in there.
Right.
How do you have a wife in her 20s living in a 300 square foot apartment?
I got to tell you, Chris, and I'm going to have her on tonight to explain this.
Yes.
She has an ability. She can go down a backyard area and there are no cats, feral cats.
She's a cat person, cats. Too.
Absolutely. And yeah. She makes a sound. 20 cats have come out of nowhere. And they're like all purring at her. And she's talking to them and they're listening. I come by and they run away from me. It is absolutely incredible the kind of feel that she has for cats.
It's like you're Batman and she's the Catwoman.
Yes. Very good.
isn't that the image you used to always project back in the 70s?
Yeah, Batman. Pigeon Man.
Pigeon Man
and Catwoman.
Pigeon Man and Catwoman. All right, let me go back to the phone here. Let me go to Nick in Farmingdale out on Long Island. Nick, hope you survived the tornado last night.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that was pretty crazy. Welcome back, Curtis. I'm sure you remember me.
Nick, I know many Nicks.
Remember you?
Some tried to kill me. Where are you from? Bensonhurst, Dyker Heights? Where are you from, Nick?
Farmingdale. I don't think.
You might have transplanted out there. Witness protection program. Go ahead, Nick.
Remember, I was your 15-year-old caller, and I'm almost 16 now.
Oh, right. Wow.
That's right.
Remember me?
I remember you now, Nick. You were spot on. Probably the best caller I had at 15 years old.
There you go.
That's not saying much about the other
people. No, I mean, I feel bad for everybody else who's like in their 70s and think they know politics. But Nick out here, for the good education out on Long Island he's getting, he's got...
You pay enough property taxes to get a good education. But Nick, what are you doing with yourself now?
Oh, boy. Well, I've been very closely following your campaign. I'm extremely proud of you for doing a wonderful job running for mayor. And you really... Even though you didn't win, you still brought so much attention to the Guardian Angels and all that you do. It's just, I think it was still very beneficial to you, and you showed what you're capable of. But I really wanted to welcome you back and say, I'm here, I'm ready to listen, and so is everyone else in New York and the whole area.
Well, stay tuned, Nick. There's some political surprises coming down the pipe. That's all I'm going to say to you. Some political surprises.
I think radio is good for you. Maybe we should kind of stick to that. You're very good at radio. I mean, campaigning. I mean, look. I mean, you did better than the last guy.
I touched on subjects that Republicans generally don't talk about.
I got it.
Emotionally disturbed, homeless, no kill shelters, universal basic income.
I wish you would have let me look at those commercials before you.
Yeah, but you see, you're too much of a political wonk.
Yeah, I mean, I would have helped you. I would have said, hey, man, don't run that commercial.
These pulled on people's emotions. And that's the most important thing. They're memorable. 2 years from now, people will still remember those commercials, especially with little tuna in my hand, the neurologically impaired kitten.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. If you want to say hi to Curtis, you got another topic. We got a lot to talk about. I'm with Curtis till 4, then he's here till 5, and then I think he's going to be here all night. I think he's moving in. He doesn't want to go back to the cats.
I'll be back 10 to 1.
All right, give us a call at 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC.
It's the right versus the left. In the right corner, it's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa. In the left corner, it's liberal activist Christopher Hahn. It's a 77 WABC debate. Heavyweight slugfest. On New York's news and talk station, 77 WABC.
I knew the guy in the Rangers jersey would give me a bad cue to come back. 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go, Islanders. Curtis, we're welcoming you back here for at least 10 more minutes.
By the way, I hate the Islanders. I love the Rangers.
Yeah, well,
always have.
If you were a kid growing up on Long Island in the 80s, as I was, you would love the Islanders.
That's the only reason you paid attention to Long Island. It was because of the Islanders.
It was an amazing
thing. Trotz, Pot Van.
Mike Bossy, Billy the Butcher, Bobby Nystrom. Come on, baby. It was a great team. Great team. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-WABC. Let me go to Judith in Brooklyn. Got a question for you, Curtis.
Hey, hi, Curtis. How are you?
Oh, last time I saw Judy, she was out there in Borough Park on 13th Avenue and 50th, correct?
Absolutely. I shopped there. I was shopping. There's great stores. And that guy, Isaac, I was doing some stuff. He sells jewelry and stuff. And I was in the middle of the thing. And I turn around, take a look. And there you are. And I got so excited. And I tried to take care of you guys. I brought you vegetable soup. I hope it was good.
Oh, no, it was, because my voice was fading. Judy, it was like my Florence Nightingale. And, I mean, the chicken soup was like liquid penicillin. And, by the way, I won Borough Park. I won the Orthodox vote there. Although my friends, the Lubavitch, turned on me in Crown Heights. And, hey, what happened in Williamsburg? My friends in Williamsburg, they crushed me. But not Borough Park.
Borough Park voted
for me, the majority. Midwood, Flatbush, Brighton Beach. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Curtis, listen, I want to ask you a question. And I know everyone loved you. Everyone said they're voting for you, and I know they did. So it's our loss. It really is.
Yeah, but Judith, the problem is, this is what you got to learn. If you would have voted for me twice, I'd be the mayor of the city of New York now. All of my supporters.
Stop the steal.
Vote for me twice, and I would have been the mayor. Look at the analytics, the numbers.
Yeah, if they would have voted for you twice, you would have won. I mean, what is with this?
Why don't Democrats get to vote from wherever they are? They get to vote twice, three times, four times.
Stop.
Come on.
Stop. Look, I know how it feels. You know, when I was 22, I was a little bit older than your wife. I ran for county legislature out on Long Island. And everybody I met was voting for me. Everybody's voting for you, right? And you lose. And you're like, what happened? It hurts. And even if you know you're going to lose, and I know in your heart of hearts, you campaigned hard. You knew it was an uphill battle. You knew you'd probably lose, especially when Adams got nominated. You might have had a much better chance against somebody further to the
Maya
left.
Maya Wiley, yes.
Yeah.
Then you had a race.
You would have had a way to kind of differentiate between
the
two.
No doubt. I would have licked my chops for that one.
But it didn't happen.
Right.
But you're out there, you're campaigning, and everybody wants to tell you how great you are. Everybody says you're impressive. Everybody
and how
they're
going to vote for you.
Exactly.
And then you realize only 20-25% of the people actually voted. So that's almost impossible because you were probably part of the 75% who didn't even bother
to
vote.
They're like, oh, it was election day? Oh, I was going to vote for you. I forgot. I was out on the island shopping at Woodbury Commons or something.
That's right.
It's like, oh,
or they still
God.
Come up to me. Hey, you know, I'm going to be voting for you for mayor. I said, the election is over, pal. I lost.
I had a situation when I ran. I was originally supposed to run against a woman who'd been in office for 20 years. She died. And I'm thinking, I'm called by God. I'm going to win this election. They nominate her son. And I'm out there. I'm working my butt off. I'm 22. I think I could win. I'm like, oh, I'm called by God. I'm going to do this. And I'm at this Meet the Candidates night one night, and I give this speech. My opponent wouldn't even show up to these things. And I meet this little old lady afterwards. She's like, oh, you're such a wonderful person. You have such a bright future. And I go, so can I count on your vote Tuesday? She goes, I couldn't do that to Rose. I'm like, Rose is dead. I'm running against her son. And I would hear that all the time. It drove me nuts.
Or I would hear from people who say, you know, I'm a lifelong Democrat. You're the kind of Republican I could vote for. I said, so can I expect your vote? Not this time.
Not this time. No. I like it when they're honest. Yes. I appreciate the honesty when people tell you, nah, you know what? I'm not going to vote for you. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-WABC. Let me go to Gail. They go to Larry in Brooklyn. Larry in Brooklyn.
Hi there, Curtis. Welcome back. By the way, Chris, you're a real nice guy when you're not talking politics.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, Curtis.
No, Larry, let me straighten you out. I've known Chris for many years. He's been my partner on three occasions. He is extraordinarily entertaining. He's a happy-go-lucky guy. Obviously, if you're going to get into a chokehold with Chris on politics, he's going to choke back. But the guy is extraordinarily upbeat, unlike a lot of previous partners I've had. Manic depressive, so I'm not going to mention names. But go ahead, Larry.
How could anybody be depressed when they're sitting in a studio, especially these studios they built here for us? I mean, these are like, I've never been to a radio studio. It's nicer than Fox.
Magnificent.
Yeah. I mean, it's a how could you be depressed when you're given the opportunity to just talk to the world? I mean, it's fantastic. But yes, Larry, look, you don't agree with me, but trust me, if you met me, you'd love me.
All right. I also want to say, unlike the guy last night who was terribly disrespectful to Curtis, and I followed up on the air and defended you, Curtis.
Thank you, Frankie. Frankie Russo.
Good thing you got off the air, and I told him, well, what are you talking about? You dissed the guy. You know, what do you expect him to do?
No, I introduced him because he's JV. I introduced him to Mr. Click. He was in the middle of a sentence and hadn't even realized that I hung up on him.
Oh, my God.
What a gabon. What a jadrou.
Was he being mean to you, Frank Russo?
No. I was actually very complimentary to him because he had on Al Bandiero.
Yeah.
One of the greatest radio voices of all time in the age of disco, WKTU, along with Joe Causey. I could go through everybody. And it was such an outstanding interview, and I praised him to the max. Then we started talking about Cuomo. He's going, oh, you anti-Italian. I say, hey, schmuck, putz. Hey, Andrew, ascendeme, tu si provienos facim. And like your father, you are, and I've been proven correct, right? Have I not been proven correct, Chris?
Yeah.
He was defending Cuomo. Frankie Russo.
Defending him for what? For what happened?
Only because he was Italian.
Oh, okay. All right. So I'm Italian, too. I'm Italian.
I'll tangle with him again.
Yeah, because Frank is not a disrespectful. Oh, he's got that Newsmax thing going
on. He's JV. He's got to up his game.
Yeah. All right.
But he's good. I'm telling you, his callers are entertaining. He's entertaining. I love it because it's theater of the mind. So from Frank Morano, who has his own form of theater of the mind late at night, to Frankie Russo on the weekends, radio has never been better on WABC.
They're doing a lot of good things here. They're trying new stuff.
John Katzmatidis. The moment I said theater of the mind, he clicked. He said, it's exactly what I want this radio station to be.
People have to understand, listeners, hosts alike, we're not trying to win a war here. We're trying to have a conversation, a national conversation. I like to talk national politics. I don't talk local politics. I like to talk national politics, and I like to get into a conversation, but I also want to entertain you. I don't want to be here. I don't want to bore you to death. I want you to listen to the radio. Keep listening to it. Thanks for your call, Larry. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-WABC. Why don't we take a quick break? And why don't we come back and talk a little bit about politics? We'll talk about Aaron Rodgers. We'll talk about I'll tell you what. Curtis's choice. You're back. It's your first day back here. I know you're going to be on for 10 hours tonight. But we come back. We'll talk about
From 10 to 1.
Yeah.
After the Sinatra program with Joe Piscopo. And then great article in the Post about Dean Martin. An incredible article about the history of Dean Martin and I believe his daughter who hosts a program here. It's great entertainment here at WABC. You don't want to miss it.
Yeah, they got a lot going on, a lot of different things going on. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. Curtis and Chris, we're going to talk a little politics. I'll be nice to you, Curtis. I think it's time. I think you need to. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-WABC.
It's the right versus the left. In the right corner, it's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa. In the left corner, it's liberal activist Christopher Hahn. It's a 77 WABC debate. Heavyweight slugfest.
1-800-848-9222, 1-800-848-WABC. Curtis and Chris with you till 4 o'clock, then Curtis goes till 5, and then Curtis will be back 10 to 1. He's going to go home and feed those cats. It's going to take them 4 hours, I guess, to do that.
Change the litter boxes.
Change the litter boxes.
I get
you don't have this Department of Sanitation to help you with it anymore, unfortunately. That's why he was running.
Imagine. Gracie Mansion, I could have had all those rescue cats that would not have been euthanized at the shelter, and I would have had the pit bulls in the yard.
Yeah.
Because they get euthanized all the
time.
You
could have turned Gracie Mansion into a
Noah's Ark.
Kill shelter.
No, with global warming and climate change, right? It would have been Noah's Ark. Yeah.
It's on a high part in the city, so it would have been okay. You know what? I got a lot of people who want to talk to you, so I'm going to just keep going with it. 1-800-848-9222. Let me go to Barbara out on Long Island, my favorite part of the area. How you doing, Barbara?
It's Aunt Barbara.
Aunt Barbara?
Yep.
My Aunt Barbara?
That's right.
Okay. You don't sound
Chris.
Like my Aunt Barbara.
Chris, it's Aunt Barbara.
I don't know.
Uncle Joe's wife.
Uncle Joe's ex-wife.
No, he passed away, remember?
Oh my God. Oh my, how you doing?
Chris, I am so proud of you. My father and I right now are I'm at my dad's house in Deer Park. And my bad dad's a real big fan of you, Curtis.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
To you.
You know, I got to apologize for Chris. He's a little mashook.
You know, not realizing
who his relatives are.
You know, Aunt Barbara, you could have called me off the air. I'm just saying. I'm getting a little embarrassed here. It's like,
yeah. My dad and I are listening to the program because we wanted to hear you both. And we're sitting here, and my father said, why don't you call?
Well, there you go. Well, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Let me ask you a question. She called from Deer Park.
Yes.
The water, Deer Park, is that actually from the aquifers of Deer Park?
God, I hope not. Have you ever been to Deer Park?
No, I know.
I mean, it's like a strip mall.
I truly believe that people in Long Island are ubats, titched, because they drink the water from the aquifer. That also sometimes is mixed with the sump holes, the cesspools. I mean, there's something wrong with you folks.
It comes from a different layer of the earth, the Magathie aquifer.
It's more Suffolk issue than that. It's way down in the bottom. I remember what it was like to get into a cesspool with my Uncle Steve and clean it out.
Yeah, but you see where the water from the city of New York comes from? It's like caught from rainwater up in New Paltz, and then they pipe it into the city. People are swimming in that thing. They take their boats in there. They go fishing in it. At least ours is coming from, like, a glacier.
I would much rather drink from the tap than the aquifer out in Long Island.
Yeah, I don't know.
All of a sudden, I end up with three heads, four eyes. Come on, you know the tradition of Long Island water.
It is. There's been a lot of battles over water on Long Island. There's a battle between Nassau and Suffolk County over the Lloyd Aquifer that's been raging for years. It's in court. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-WABC. Let me go to Dan in San Antonio, Texas. Dan, how you doing?
Hey, doing all right. I appreciate y'all taking my call, Curtis. I just wanted to pass along that I was sitting there. And I'm kind of a political file and enjoy all the activities going around the country, certainly during this crazy time that we're going through with this FJB administration. But I saw a video of you down in, I think it was the Dante's Inferno area, and you showed your compassion, and that struck me like a bullet between the eyes. And I said, man, I've got to support a man like that. And so I did, and I wished you the best, and really appreciate, if nothing else, that politics aside, that you showed your humanity. And, again, like I said, you got a fan for life down here in San Antonio, Texas.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Dan. I spent some time in south side of San Antonio, and the projects, they're all low level. But, boy, have they had some serious problems. And what he's referring to is the emotionally disturbed persons that I've spent a lot of time with. Our old studios at WABC was right above Penn Station. And I and the Guardian Angels were a fixture there because we'd be caring for the emotionally disturbed and the homeless, especially when the lockdown and pandemic came. And secular and religious organizations left because they were frightened. Let's face it, they didn't know what would happen.
Well, it's
kind of
like
COVID.
The evolution of the Guardian Angels to me. Like, so when I was a kid seeing you on WABC with Ernie Anastos back in the day.
Good old Ernie. Yeah,
love Ernie.
Yeah.
You know, you guys were there to kind of like protect people on the subways. And you still do that to some extent, but there is a larger kind of more humanitarian evolution of the organization where you are actually out there trying to care for these homeless people, many of whom are veterans and other, you know, people who have lived a life and then, you know, had something bad happen to them, wind up down there, or they have some mental issue that has them down there. You know, it is the evolution that kind of makes you a different kind of person.
Well, remember, I was brought up by both my father and mother, especially me and my dad, when it came to the emotionally disturbed and homeless. In the 60s, he's a merchant seaman for 55 years. He would take me to the Bowery. Right now, you need a reverse mortgage just to get a parking spot.
Right.
But then it was all missions and flop houses and what they called derelicts and bums and people who were strung out on alcohol.
Yep.
And he knew some of the men there because he had formerly been merchant seamen. He'd be having conversations. And I was appalled. And he saw that I was like almost pulling away from him. And he goes, Curtis, there by the grace of God goes you.
Right.
Or me or anyone else at any moment. And I'd be listening to the conversations. These men were lucid. They had backgrounds. They had stories. Some of it would break your heart.
Right.
And now you understood that they were lost souls and they needed to be recovered. And my father said, you need to devote your life to helping these lost souls. And that stuck with me.
Well, you know what? We always say there, but for the grace of God, especially in this industry, right? Where I think, like me, you probably have the same thought, man, anybody could do this job.
No, no, I know that's not that.
When are they going to find me out and throw me out, right? I mean, that's right. I think that all the time, right? I have that worry. Like, when are they going to find me out and throw me out? Every job I've ever had, I felt that way. And there but for the grace of God go I. And you've even said, you've spoken about, just this week when you did the press conference here at WABC, you talked about how you were down on your luck for a little while. You were living in your office here at WABC.
Living, sleeping on the floor at WABC, making a lot of money. But as people know, there are consequences for your actions. I had a lot of child support payments, and it left me almost nothing after this support payments. And naturally, the divorce lawyers lined up to get paid. In fact, little side story. I went for a chronic Crohn's disease operation at Columbia Presbyterian, 8.5 hours. Then Margot Katsimatidis and John Katsimatidis helped get me, along with my wife, Nancy. And these lawyers had the culions, the huevos, to call up in advance and say, remember, we get paid first before the surgeons.
Wow.
I mean, they were bloodsuckers.
Wow. They literally were trying to take blood from you.
Well, you're a lawyer. You know what it's like.
Well, you know, it is what it is, man. Hey. There are several lawyers out there whose kids you've put through college. And they are very,
many,
very grateful.
And a lot of cops, remember. This was one election where everybody was talking about Rikers Island and getting arrested.
Yep.
I've been arrested 76 times in the first years of the Guardian Angels. Koch did not like me. The transit union went out of their way to arrest me. I spent time on Rikers Island. So I'd be listening to all these new jacks talk about Rikers Island. I said I was locked up C-74, C-76 in the dorms, in my own cell. I can tell you what it's like in there.
Well, I saw the movie The Night Of, which was based on a guy in Rikers Island.
Yeah.
So I think I know as much about it as you do.
No. I like to take you into the general population and turn you loose.
No.
You'll end up being some guy's mate.
That is quite okay, man. That's quite all right. I don't have the boxing ability. Even with one arm, I don't think I could take you.
Trust me, there'd be 40 guys all over you, Chris.
You know, look, I'll stop working out, and it won't be as bad. Take the hat off. Nobody wants me. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-WABC. All right, let's get some people here that want to talk about some issues going on here. Let's go to John in Staten Island. John, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Chris? Curtis, I'm glad you're back. You know, you're always good on the radio and you always help people out. Hey, Chris, you know, you used to work for Schumer, right?
I did.
Okay, so Schumer wants to throw in this SALT bill. So all these millionaires are going to get deducted taxes on 12 states. So what about the other 39, 40 states that don't get anything? Are you going to be a willing share? I mean, shouldn't we all get reduced
Well, you know, look, New York is a donor state. We give $1.75 to the federal government more than we take out. And Donald Trump, 2 years ago, took away the salt tax to punish New York, the salt tax deduction. It was not a fair bill. And what Schumer and other people from New York State's delegation are trying to do is trying to say, hey, look, New York's a high tax state. Texas is a high tax state, California, New Jersey. They want to have that deduction put back in so that people from New York State are not getting hit twice in their tax bill. And I think that's a reasonable thing.
Yeah, but be honest. The reason he wants to put that back into play is so more New Yorkers won't be leaving New York to North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, Texas, Georgia, and especially Florida, which don't have anywhere near the kind of taxes as New York or New Jersey or Connecticut.
I'll tell my friend from Staten Island this. It takes a lot of money to run that ferry for free back and forth across.
Oh, you want to take that away?
Well, what do you think?
You know who gave us that?
Guy
Molinari gave us that.
People's taxes pay for that. Shouldn't they be able to deduct that from their federal taxes?
Let me ask you a question about Chuck E. Cheese Schumer, the guy you worked for. He is moving so far to the left. He endorsed the socialist Democrat for mayor that got beat by Brown in a write-in. Very difficult to do a write-in. And yet Brown was able to beat her handily. What was he doing endorsing us? He's afraid of AOC all out crazy Ocasio-Cortez.
I think Chuck Schumer's doing a great job for New York. I think he's doing a great job.
But he's
for the
moved
country.
All the way to the left.
And I think, look, it's the job. If you're a leader in the Democratic Party and somebody wins a Democratic primary, you endorse them.
He's afraid.
And I think that's what
never been challenged, has he?
I don't know about that.
Well, who were the last three people to have actually challenged him on the Republican side? Can you name them?
Well, one of them I was working for him. It was a guy named Miller, I think. I don't know. We got 72.5% of the vote.
Guy's never been challenged. Other than Alphonse Allie Boy D'Amato, when he unseated Allie Boy D'Amato.
That was a pretty big hill to
climb. That was a big
battle. And it was a five-way primary.
But he hasn't been challenged since. He's basically been given an easy pass to reelection.
It is hard to run against a guy that works as hard as Chuck Schumer does and delivers as much for
47% in the polls. Take a look at it.
Well, try running against him.
Hey,
see how that works out.
Trust me.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying Chuck Schumer is a hardworking guy. He has been to every corner of this state 30, 40 times.
You've been getting a little tired of Chuck.
I just spent an hour being nice to you. Don't be messing with Chuck Schumer. Okay? Don't make me come over there, Curtis. You only got one arm. So I'll be coming over. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-WABC. Let me go to G.I. Jack in Hackensack. What a name. Jack, you're on the air with Curtis and Chris.
Probably the only time I was ever in agreement with Chris Hahn is that a substantial amount of the homeless are American veterans. 50%, half of the homeless men and women in America, God help them, are American veterans. And there shouldn't be one in the richest, greatest country in the
world. I agree. It's a stain on this country that there are any veterans that are living without a home or not getting the proper care that they deserve.
And at least Curtis is out there making a difference, as I do in my American Marine mongrel, helping and making a difference. And New York did it to themselves again. 1933, LaGuardia, as a Republican, cleans up the mess of Tammany Hall, Liberal Democrat. And 1965, John Lindsay, semi-Republican, cleans up the mess of the liberals. And 1993.
Hold up, G.I. Jack cleans up the mess of the liberals. He was the ultimate liberal. He ended up winning re-election on the liberal party line because the Republicans ousted him for John Markey, state senator in Staten Island. And remember, there was Mario Procaccino, who actually coined the phrase limousine liberal.
You do remember, though, that the liberal party line back then was not exactly a liberal party line. It was
it was very progressive. It was Alex Rose, the old American Labor Party, almost communistic. He needed that line because the Republicans ousted him. And when he had that line and the Mets won the miracle 69 series against the Baltimore Orioles, he instantly became a New York Met fan. John Lindsay knew nothing about baseball.
So I wasn't alive in 1969.
You weren't birthed.
I wasn't birthed yet. My mom was 15.
I remember watching
14.
I remember watching it unfold.
Well, what I'm saying is the Liberal Party line, before it was eliminated here in New York State, it kind of wasn't really
Let me teach you, okay? So you had Alex Rose and Dave Dubinsky.
Right.
David Dubinsky was the Hatters Union. Strong union connections. They had come out of the old American Labor Party. The Henry Wallace was the candidate. Remember, had been the vice president for Roosevelt and ousted, ran against Truman, siphoned some votes, a far, far left. That was a strong line to run on. Not the Liberal Party line that Rudy Giuliani ran on to beat David Dinkins because David Dinkins was the liberal.
Remember the great liberal Rudy Giuliani, who I debated once on the Ingram angle, and they still play the clip?
Let me tell you, that line won him the mayoralty.
Of course it did.
The conservatives ran a guy, George Marlin, got 1%.
Right.
1% George Marlin almost cost Rudy the election the second time around against David Dinkins. And the conservatives ran a guy, Joe Pepitone, this time, who I loved as a Yankee.
Great.
I remember in 64, he had 25 home runs, 100 RBIs, great first baseman. But I don't know where they found Joe Pepitone. They ran him, and he got like 1% of the vote this time.
Well, look, I mean, it was a long time.
Wait. Oh, that was his nephew. That's right. Bill Pepitone. I love Joe Pepitone.
There's a lot of Pepitones out there.
I love Joe Pepitone.
Pepitone. What a name. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-WABC.
It's the right versus the left. In the right corner, it's heavyweight king Curtis Sliwa. In the left corner, it's liberal activist Christopher Hahn. It's a 77 WABC debate. Heavyweight slugfest.
All right, we're back. Curtis and Chris on 77 WABC. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-WABC. I'm with you till the top of the hour. Then Curtis is going to take you till 5, and then he'll be back again at 10, going all the way to 1 a.m. I'll be fast asleep.
Yeah, and I'll turn the baton over to Frank Morano.
Yeah, baby.
The other side of midnight, theater of the mind.
I like Frank Morano. He's good. He's a good guy.
He's excellent.
He is wrong on movie sequels. We had this conversation, him and I, about a year ago.
Do a program where you critique movies, old and new.
I think so.
People love that.
I love it. I love it. I love talking about movies. But you know what? I think you want to talk about something else right now.
We got
a few more minutes. I want to talk a little politics.
I want to ask you, okay, so the great definer between a political ideology stops at the supermarket checkout line.
Yeah.
So I shop Christides, which our owner-operator, John Katsimatidis, owns, along with so many other entities. But let's say it's a ShopRite or it's any other supermarket. I'm watching people, like, almost faint. Mm. When they get the ticker tape of exactly how much normal prices have increased, not just at the gas pump, but bread and butter, the basics. And they're like asking the cashier, you want to check this? Boy, that's quite an increase. How do the Democrats overcome that going into the midterm elections? Because, you know, bread and butter issues always trump everything else.
I mean, it's the economy, stupid, right? That's the slogan from Clinton. It's true today. It's always true. There's not a lot that the president can do about prices. We live in a capitalist economy, and all the people who are going to blame him for prices are the same people who were calling him a socialist during the last election. But look, it is his problem politically, even if he can't solve it. So what does he do? Well, first thing he's got to do is try to figure out a way to get the supply chain open up, which is really slowing some things down. And there are signs that that's starting to happen. Second thing he's got to do is hope that the markets react quickly to the increase in demand that we've had over the last year. Remember, last year this time, people were still locked in their houses. They weren't out buying things.
Right.
They weren't out driving their cars. I would drive into the city to WABC. I'd park right outside. I had to put it in the garage today, which really annoyed me, by the way. And it's I looked. Diplomatic parking all over here. What the heck? I'm a New Yorker. Let me park. There is an issue, and whether or not the president can solve it or it's his fault, it is his problem.
Right, but with all this money being flushed into the economy and coming on the heels of all the stimulus, the unemployment, there's so much money out there that if people are spending the money, the inflation is going to keep going up and up and up and up because they're not banking it.
Well,
they're going out there and they're spending
it. That's good for the economy, right?
In one way, spending that money. But the inflation, though, is really triggering up.
I don't think the inflation has to do with people spending the money. I think it's really a supply-side inflation problem. We have a problem getting things to market. The oil industry, for example, has not quickly adjusted to the demand of this year. They had reset based on remember last year you could buy a barrel of oil for free. They'd actually pay you to take a barrel of oil at one point last year. Now oil's up $60-$70 a barrel.
Yeah, well, you know, somebody closed the pipeline, almost threatened to close the second pipeline.
Yeah, I mean,
pipeline.
That's a nice talking point. It's a nice right-wing talking point. But
right,
there is
but
you
no, see when people hear that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So the one pipeline was closed. Then you see a price increase. And even though you may make the argument they're not connected, to the average consumer, it's like, well, wait a second. When that pipeline was open, I was paying far less at the pump.
One thing I will always say about Democrats, they always get behind on the messaging by trying to just tell the truth about what's going on. Republicans are all about perception. Here's the perception. He closed the pipeline. Your gas prices went up. Democrats will say, hey, you know, we didn't really, that had nothing to do with it. They'll try to get into the details of why this is not impacting the price. And by the time you finished the conversation, the people tuned out already.
The other Achilles heel that President Joe Biden has is Buttigieg, who is the Secretary of Transportation. He's been on paternity leave.
He's back.
I know, but the look was really bad at a time when there was a crisis. When you're looking at all these cargo container ships and these oil tankers back to back, belly to belly on the West Coast, waiting to come into port, and you say, "Where is the transportation?"
I get it,
commissioner?
But the Department of Transportation will run without Pete Buttigieg or anybody else at it. Polly Trottenberg, who's the Deputy Secretary of Transportation.
Oh, my God.
She used to be the commissioner here in New York.
Yeah, she destroyed
good friend
the
of mine.
Department of
she,
Transportation
she's a fantastic,
here in New York.
More bikes than cars, right? Fantastic person. By the way, that started well before Polly Trottenberg and the Bloomberg administration.
God, you mentioned the de Blasio-ite. That makes me want to impale myself with this microphone.
Look, Polly left de Blasio. Purposefully. Okay, so let's just be clear. She's in a better place now. She's a brilliant person when it comes to transportation issues, and she's going to help solve some of these problems. But look, anybody has an opportunity to have a baby, you want to be able to bond with that baby. I know you've got like 17 kids and 25 cats. You wanted to bond with them. Every time you get a cat, Cat Sabatini is going to give you a day off to go, you know, nurse the cat or whatever you do with the cat.
There won't be any cat paternity.
No, you don't get cat paternity leave here? I thought that was in your contract. I thought you got a new deal.
Even though John loves cats more than any other human being I've ever met. No, I will not be getting cat paternity leave.
No
cat,
no cat paternity.
I just had four kittens that were just birthed by a mother cat that we had rescued out in Canarsie. That's our animal sanctuary in the house my mom and dad used to own that is now a Guardian Angel headquarters. We have a sanctuary there for feral cats. Four new little kittens brought into the world.
How many cats are in that sanctuary?
There's about a good eight now.
That's it?
These are feral cats.
There are less cats at your sanctuary than in your apartment.
Yeah, because they're feral cats. They can only live outdoors. They cannot be domesticated.
Got it. So why are they living there at all?
Because when you have rat, mice, and rodent problems, that is the best deterrent at all. Forget the pesticides, the dry ice. Forget drowning rats. This is a cat, a bodega cat, is the best deterrent to a rat or mice problem that you might have. Should try it out there, Chris. I'm sure those two-legged rats who live in matzah pizza out there not far from
you. I'm way out, man. I'm out in Stony Brook. Way out on the island. It's it's 45 miles from here, but it might as well be 500 miles from
Stony
here.
Stony Brook University has become Little Red China there, right? With all their students who have come from mainland China there.
I got to tell you something. They just opened up a Vietnamese place. Have you ever had Vietnamese food?
Yes.
It is great. Mm. I don't know why I waited this long in life to try it. It's the great eye-opener for me.
You could have gone to North Vietnam for your hero there, Chiang Kai-shek.
My hero. Come on. You know, it's funny. I get called a socialist by people like you who I know I'm better at capitalism than. I mean, I know I'm better at capitalism than you. I never slept in my office.
Did I say Chiang Kai-shek? That's Taiwan.
Come
on,
Jay.
Ho Chi Minh.
Come out.
Ho Chi Minh with your little red book there. Come on, Chris.
I'm not the one.
Under the gun turret going, take this, American John McCain.
I'm not the one wearing the red beret and the sateen jacket, by the way.
Like Hugo Chavez, right? Formerly of Venezuela.
I don't know who turned you on to that
style. By the way, whoever convinced him to get cancer surgery in Havana and not Miami?
Well, he didn't think he'd come home from Miami either for different reasons. So I think that might have been part of the thing. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848. Take a couple more calls before we get out of here, before I get out of here. You're going to be here all night.
Yes.
So.
Yes,
you're going to take a break. Are you going to sleep in the break room or are you going to go somewhere else?
No, I got to go home. And remember, I got to change the litter boxes and feed all the cats.
You got to help Nancy with her homework.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
You got to do a little bit of that, make lunch for tomorrow before you go out.
Yeah, she went to Stony Brook. I think she's still going to Stony Brook.
That's
how old
do
you say Nancy is?
I always say she's like in her early 20s, right? 21, 22.
She looks it.
By the way, I'm joking. I know that she's of age. I know that she's probably 30.
Do you know that she won't tell me how old she is? I have no idea how old Nancy is.
Yeah. That picture of you and her on her profile page, she kind of looks like she's your daughter. No offense.
People have said, hey, you're robbing from the cradle. What's wrong with you, Curtis?
I don't know, man. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-WABC. Let me go to Carol in New Jersey. Carol, you're on with Curtis and Chris.
Happy that the both of you were back on the air.
Well, we're happy to be back.
Yes, thank you. I was going to talk about de Blasio running for governor. I mean, is that insanity or what?
I don't know if I call it insanity. I'd call it hubris. I don't know what that's.
Well, Carol, actually, I thanked him for going on that four-month sabbatical when he was chasing corn stalks through middle America like Don Quixote swinging at windmills. Remember, he left New York City for 4 months. We were actually run better by his deputy mayors when he was attempting to win the Democratic primary nomination. That failed. He will have no chance at winning a Democratic nomination to be governor. None whatsoever. But let him knock himself out. Let him knock himself out.
You know, he's got nothing else to do.
Well, that's, you know, wherever he goes, he gets booed. If you notice, in the waning days of his mayoralty, in which he has single-handedly destroyed the city that we love, he no longer even walks in Prospect Park. We right there by Park Slope. He had a lot of friends and allies. They boo him. So he goes to Greenwood Cemetery in Sunset Park. And even the skeletons want to escape their mausoleums and their crypts to boo Bill de Blasio. Two hours a day, he's getting booed. He walks around. Everywhere.
You sure they're not just saying boo? I think you're hearing something different than me. I don't know.
Everybody
hates him. Let him go. Let him go. Let him go.
Please,
fine.
Back to Cambridge. Become an adjunct professor.
Fine.
Ruin a whole new generation of poli-sci students at Harvard University. Please, out of New York City.
1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-WABC. Let me go to Steve in the Bronx. Steven, how you doing? You're on with Curtis and Chris.
Hi, you guys. Listen, I just want to say, you know, ever since this bail reform bill passed that Cuomo signed a while ago, I never saw any outrage. I never saw anyone angry about it. I mean, that's why that convinced me that people don't care. They like what's happening now. That's why your numbers were so pathetically low. I think they like what's happening now, and they don't want to change it.
Steve, I gotta correct you. We're talking to Mr. Long Island here, a race in Nassau County with one Todd Kaminsky, who had the culions to think that he could become the DA of Nassau County, the author of the no bail bill. And he just got destroyed and probably took down the entire Democratic machine with him.
It was an issue not just in Nassau County. It was an issue in Suffolk County. And the DA in Suffolk County, a Democrat, came out against bail reform.
Yes.
But, you know, the voters didn't discriminate. They're like, Democrats passed bail reform in Albany. They gave the judges no discretion.
Right. There he is, the state senator. He had a safe seat. Nothing was going to happen. He decided, I got a safe seat, but I'm going to run for DA just to rub salt in the wounds. Didn't realize that all these folks in Nassau County said, you're the author of this no bail bill. And they took it out on him and all the other Democrats because he thought he could be DA.
Well, we'll see what happens with the county executive race. There's 23,000 absentees that yet they haven't even opened them yet. They haven't started counting in Nassau County, and she's down by 11,000 votes. We've seen 80% absentees for Democrats across Long Island over the last in Suffolk County.
There is a chance that Paul McCartney may end up being the Nassau County executive.
It's not Paul McCartney.
With all those ropes of dope that he smokes?
It's not Paul McCartney.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
We shouldn't say that, okay? Hey, at least it's not Ringo, right? At least it's not Ringo. I mean,
that's true.
Left you for Paul McCartney.
Look, at least we learned one thing from Paul lately. It wasn't Yoko who broke up the Beatles, right? It was not Yoko.
No. I mean, Paul has been saying it's not Yoko. I mean, he has been very open. He's like, look, I should have been better with Yoko. This guy was in love with her, and he was clearly in love with her. Brought other things. He blamed John. He didn't blame Yoko.
Guy loved talk radio. Used to walk over to the studios at WMCA, knock on the door. And Alex Bennett was doing a show at night, and he'd walk right in and start conversing
right
on the air.
John Lennon, man. Could you imagine if he was
still alive? And you know
who
his board engineer was?
Who?
Dynamite.
Well, man, this has been fun for me, Curtis. Next time I won't be as nice. But I'll always be respectful.
It's been a mood elevator for our listeners.
I think everybody's happy to have you back. I'm happy to be back.
They're happy you're back too, Chris.
We're all happy. Everybody's happy. 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-WABC. Curtis will take it till 5. I'm Chris Hahn. I'm at Christopher Hahn on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Curtis, take it away.
Great rejoin.